the Milwaukee County Zoo is closing its aviary as a precaution to protect its birds. We've made it to Friday. It's February 7th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, two public schools in Milwaukee have dangerous levels of lead. And the two candidates for state superintendent of schools are presenting different versions of how to address low state reading scores. Stay with us.
Make an appointment with Public Radio's favorite family doc on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Okay, Carol, do you like taking calls from our listeners?
I do.
How about sharing our wonderful heart-healthy recipes?
Absolutely.
Do you like to keep up with the latest medical research?
Always.
If you do, Carol, stay tuned.
Saturday afternoon at 1 and Sunday night at 6 on WPR News.
The Milwaukee County Zoo is closing its aviary for the foreseeable future as a precaution against highly contagious avian flu. As Joe Schultz reports, this comes after hundreds of dead birds have shown up on the shores of Lake Michigan near Chicago.
The Milwaukee Zoo says the decision was made out of an abundance of caution to protect its bird population from avian flu. Hundreds of ducks were found either dead or sick along Lake Michigan near Chicago this week. Bird flu is the suspected cause. Christy Retnemond is a veterinarian at the zoo. She says wild birds coming to the area near the die-off are at risk of catching the virus. Those birds could spread the illness through their feces.
We're not really worrying about like wild birds coming into the aviary. It's more people bringing wild bird feces into the aviary and then that potentially affecting our birds.
She says the zoo is still waiting on confirmation on the cause of death for the birds near Chicago. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Center for Disease Control's website is being modified to comply with President Trump's executive orders on gender and diversity, equity, and inclusion, and that worries some Wisconsin health officials. Linda Hall is the director of the Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health. She says the CDC's Youth Risk Behavior Survey is the primary data source that her team uses to talk about children's mental health. It's also one of the CDC sites where federal data has been missing.
We're really concerned. Really concerned about what's going to happen to this data source. I mean, anybody who works in data, you know, just really understands that the importance of consistent, reliable data.
The survey informs health officials about things like teen substance use and mental health. It also tells them how different groups are doing. Hall says they need that data to decide where to focus their efforts. There are dangerous levels of lead dust in two Milwaukee public schools, according to the Milwaukee Health Department. Nick Rommel has the details.
When the health department tested windowsills at two Milwaukee schools for lead dust in January, they found levels 14 times as high as federal safety thresholds. The tests were part of the department's regular follow-ups after two students, one at Golda Meir School and one at Cagle Elementary School, were found to have lead poisoning in the last 3 months. Eduardo Galvan is the Milwaukee Public Schools interim superintendent. He says the district already reviews its buildings for lead annually, but that he'll work with the city to make changes to that process.
You know, do we need to buy more wipes? I know that sounds simplistic, but if that's a step we need to take, whether, you know, we need to think differently about painting.
Milwaukee's health department recommends that kids under 6 years old get lead screening tests annually. Nick Rommel, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A proposal to roll back recent changes to Wisconsin's test score standards got its first hearing in the state legislature yesterday. Under the Republican proposal, the Department of Public Instruction would have to use the same testing benchmarks that it used in the 2019-2020 school year. Opponents of the changes say it's now difficult to compare this year's school data with previous test scores. Republican John Jagler authored the proposal. He says students should have the highest standards possible.
As we move out of COVID, it is more important than ever that we're able to see how our educational system is advancing or not advancing.
DPI has repeatedly said the standards have not been lowered. The department says the new benchmarks better reflect how much students know. Two candidates running to oversee Wisconsin schools as state superintendent spoke at a forum in Madison yesterday. As Anja Van Wagtendonk reports, they presented different versions of how to address low state reading scores.
Brittany Kinzer and Jeff Wright are both running in a primary alongside current state superintendent Jill Underley. Kinzer has worked as a special education teacher and consultant. She identifies as a school choice candidate who supports vouchers and increasing school standards. Wright is the superintendent of the Sauk Prairie School District. He criticized Underley for a lack of urgency when addressing achievement gaps.
You don't get 4 years to make a plan to address something that has been such a problem historically. And so we need to be doing this work right away, but we need to be doing it a full court press across the entire state.
Underley did not take part in the forum. The primary is February 18th, and early voting is already underway. Anja Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we'll have a story from Wisconsin Life about bald eagles. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about one of Wisconsin and the nation's most beloved birds.
People flock to Prairie du Sac in mid-January for the annual Bald Eagle Watching Days. As Christina Leffering tells us, it was an opportunity for people to see our national bird in the wild, one that was dangerously close to extinction.
The frosty winds off the bluffs of the Wisconsin River feel extra biting on this chilly morning in Prairie du Sac. At the Overlook, a small crowd with binoculars and telephoto camera lenses are braving the cold for Bald Eagle Watching Days. Mike and Connie Amig traveled from Marshfield so Connie could see the birds for her birthday.
I absolutely love bald eagles. Yep. I just think they're so majestic, and I wanted to see them in the wild. And when I was growing up, it was very rare to see one, and it's wonderful that there's more and more that you get to see in the wild.
Even people who grew up in areas where eagles nest have noticed them in more areas. Robin Miner of Baraboo says she used to see bald eagles fairly often when she was a student at UW La Crosse decades ago.
That was back when it was more rare to see them. So it's nice to be closer to home and be able to see such a beautiful, magnificent bird.
Their experiences align with what avian biologists have documented for the past 50 years. The bald eagle population in the United States was driven almost to extinction due to the work of conservationists and a 1972 DDT ban. The bald eagle population has made an amazing recovery in Wisconsin.
50 years ago, back in 1975, we had 111 pairs. Today, we have nearly 1,700 nesting pairs.
That's Sumner Madison, avian ecologist with the DNR, who was at the Prairie du Sac Overlook for Bald Eagle Watching Days.
It's been probably one of the most satisfying things for me in my career is to come out and interact with the public and to see their appreciation for these birds.
In 2025, DNR officials said they located bald eagle breeding pairs in every county in Wisconsin. While the bald eagle recovery is considered a success story, their population has not fully recovered. Darlene Williams of Janesville had never seen a bald eagle in the wild before today's event.
Well, as that one just went by, it's just like it's magnificent. It just makes you feel good. This is one of my bucket lists, one of my goals, and I'm happy to be able to be here today.
William's friend Miner chimes in.
I'm sure there were people who had never seen one, like Darlene, and to see one is, I think it still brings you that kind of joy and excitement and that you're seeing something special.
Miner says she's seen groups like Raptor Education Group, Inc., or Reggie, release eagles that have recovered from injury back into the wild.
That was magnificent because I'm sure there's people who think, why are you spending time and money to rehabilitate a wild animal? But I think they're a special species, and I'm sure there's other species out there, too, that need the same attention. But this one has proven to work.
And there's still more work to do. Marge Gibson is the founder of Reggie. She says there are three main reasons bald eagles are brought to a rehabilitation center. Either they are hit by cars, lead poisoned by lead shot or fishing lures, or poisoned with herbicides, pesticides, and rodent poison in their food.
There are a lot of things we can do better. The public can make changes to make the environment safer.
As attendee Maggie Spott points out, other species like Canadian geese and sandhill cranes were once also on the edge of extinction and are now so ubiquitous that some consider them pests.
That's how it should be. We should be seeing large number of these animals. It shouldn't get to the point where we have to worry about them going extinct. We have to continue to protect them to prevent something like that from ever happening again.
Bald eagles can be seen in other parts of the contiguous U.S., but it's rare to see several breeding pairs flying, fishing, and nesting in the wild. For now, that's a sight special to Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's very cool.
It's larger than I thought.
Christina Leffring brought us that story on Bald Eagle Watching Days. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it for this Friday. Really quickly, let's check the weather. Mix of sunshine and clouds today with high temperatures in the 20s and 30s. But tomorrow, that's the big news. There's a winter storm watch in effect for central Wisconsin tomorrow. Could see 4 to 7 inches of snow there. Could see maybe a few inches of snow in the far north tomorrow, and maybe an inch or so in the south. And that'll do it. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News on this Friday. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. Have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.